Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. Oh, that's terrible. Good morning, everyone. Amen. God is good. Amen. Well, let's thank the Lord, shall we? Exciting when we build the new headquarters in Mexico. Amen. Next year, it's going to be a great time. I'm so excited about that. But you know, before I go in and make some introductions this morning, listen, you know what's really interesting? I was thinking about this morning. First of all, Bill Kindler, you know, in the bookstore all this time, faithful, hard worker. He's done such a wonderful job. But do you know that right now in this service, we have our very first gentleman who worked in the bookstore, and we also have our second person who took over the bookstore manager. So, Ron Driscoll, would you look? Are you back there? You can stand up. Okay, he's going to wave his hand. Wave your hand, Ron. I remember when you were right back there in that room. Amen. That was all 27 years ago, whatever it was. And then Angela, you waved too. Everybody knows Angela. Did a great job. You guys are awesome. And, of course, Bill Kindler. And, you know, everything comes to an end. It's a paradigm shift, if you will. You know, we're moving into new technology and so forth. Also, before I introduce our principal of Haltrop Christian School, let me say this. Becky and I thank you for your prayers. See what happens when I get there. I can't go there. Steve, you see you left that residue up here. You know what I mean? I want to thank you, but listen, you know, that's not what we wanted on our 40th anniversary to be at the hospital, okay? And when we hear a word like cancer, we certainly know what that means. We've been there. But you know what? Thank God the doctors, they were wrong. Amen? Yeah. And so, however, with all that being said, we sincerely covet your continued prayers as the doctors don't know what it is. And the pathologists, they don't know what it is. And so there's going to be a lot more testing. Becky feels great. She looks good. She's a hot woman. I love her. But thank you for praying. We sincerely appreciate that. Now, you know, we know that today on this dedication Sunday for Haltrop Christian School, we know, all of us know, who truly deserves all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And not only that, we have the incredible privilege of not only serving the Lord, but following the Lord and laboring for Him. And that's what all the people do that are connected with the school, of course. And, you know, I want to tell you about one of His servants that I'm going to introduce to you in a moment, and she's not going to enjoy any of this because she doesn't want me to say anything, but I'm going to anyway. And that is this, and I want to make sure I get it just the way I put it down. Number one, she's a follower of Jesus Christ, and she loves the Lord. She is a devoted wife, an incredible mother. She is a diligent, tireless, faithful worker. Listen now, I have watched for a year and a half, whatever, hour after hour of incredible, faithful service and work. It's unbelievable the hours of research that she has done, the professionalism in which she conducted herself, and the incredible organizational skills that blow me away. And not only that, I have never heard her complain one time. Not one time. And I watched her sacrifice hour after hour, untold hours away from her family. And, you know, in the beginning, no salary, and now not even a good salary. You know what I'm saying. And then what I have to really say is to her husband, Josh, what an incredible husband, supporter, man, to stand behind her. I applaud you, and I love you, my friend. You're a blessing. Now, and more than that, I watched her make 1,000 prayerful, difficult decisions. Some were small, some were huge, many were painful, many with tears. I saw that all. That's what you call leadership. It is sometimes a very lonely place. But one thing I know about this young lady is that she carries in her heart the vision for Haltom Christian School. So let's welcome our principal, Heather Gonzalez.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. You already started me. Well, good morning. I'm so excited to celebrate Haltom Christian School's opening with you all as we dedicate this school to the Lord. By attending today, you've become a part of Haltom Christian School's history. And today is all about speaking of all God's wondrous works. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, for this school, and holy is his name. This experience has been like a big, giant God puzzle, and I've watched the Lord put each piece in place. Scriptures that I've known have a new meaning to me now in my heart. I'd like to share with you some of the words the Lord has given to me that I've clung to over this past year, and I encourage you to embrace these scriptures as well, because these promises are not just for me, but for us all. The last time I spoke, I shared with you the scripture the Lord spoke to my heart over this school from 1 Corinthians 3:6. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Unbeknownst to me at the time, this is the same scripture from Calvary's first sermon 26 years ago. For me, this was confirmation that the Lord's hand was upon this venture. And for the past year, my focus from this verse has been the planting and watering. But I understand even more now why the Lord gave me this verse. Because the focus for this new season must be that God gives the increase. As I'm still learning, it isn't my job to make Haltom Christian School grow. It's only my responsibility to honor the labor and let the Lord own the results. Now, the truth is, none of us knew how to start a school. And as you can imagine, the thought of opening one was daunting. The first thing I had to face were my feelings of inadequacy. But 2 Corinthians 10:18 says, "For it is not the one commending himself who is approved, but the one the Lord commends." I finally accepted that God qualifies and equips the ones he calls when I realized that no one is worthy of the privilege to serve the Lord. And believing this gives me freedom as I learn what it really means to be his vessel, doing things in his strength for his glory. As we stepped out, there were times it felt overwhelming. And if I'm being honest, there are times it still does. But as we began seeking wisdom, the Lord spoke to my heart, "I'm working when you're not." And he manifested this truth through divine appointments. From miracle to miracle, here are some of the ways God has moved to lay the foundation at HCS. Initially, our goal was to open Haltom Christian School in the fall of 2018. One of the first things we had to do was secure a permit from the city. After our initial submission, the school permit was denied, and we knew we had to postpone our opening date. Little did we know at the time, the Lord was protecting us, and he had other plans. The same week the permit was denied, Pastor Bill ran into an old friend, a retired city planner named James Pliska. After speaking with him about our permit issues, Mr. Pliska began looking into our situation. Pastor Bill remembered that this facility had been a school in 1990, and God had gone before us even then. After a phone call to Mr. Pliska, he presented our case to the city, and the city could not deny our permit. By God's grace and divine intervention, our permit was approved, and we continued moving forward. The next step was to begin defining the school's heart and how it would operate. I felt the best way to do this was to create a website. Now, I'm the least tech-savvy person you will ever meet. Even Pastor Bill knows how to use Siri better than I do. But after months spent creating Haltom Christian School's website, I was elated to finally publish it and then immediately dejected when a Google search of Haltom Christian School produced no results. I knew changes were going to have to be made in the internet world, but I had no idea how to make them. 2 days later, a dear Calvary family who had just started attending our church and had no previous knowledge about the website publication volunteered to market our school digitally. The Bostick family is an absolute blessing as they serve solely from their heart for the ministry of private Christian education. After casting the vision, the next question was, how do we get there? As I set out to glean wisdom, several leaders of fellow Christian schools opened their doors and their hearts. I can't tell you the connections the Lord orchestrated and how each contact provided exactly what we needed at exactly the right time. These principals, deans, teachers, and directors have selflessly invested their time into guiding us as our vision becomes a reality. Administrators and teachers at Acorn Academy, River Tree Academy, New Life Academy, and Legacy Classical Christian Academy have been pivotal in providing guidance on how to execute the school's vision of operation. And there are other valued administrators and teachers with careers in Christian education who are so influential in providing spiritual wisdom and encouragement. I'm thankful for all of them. And it doesn't stop there. Local librarians provided a blessing I never could have imagined. After reaching out to our local libraries for a simple book list for elementary age children, a special librarian from Watauga offered to come to our facility and teach me how to organize our library with enriched resources. A phone call conversation to Haltom City's public library, again, just for a book list, led to a donation of over 300 children's books. Time does not permit me to name all of the people that have contributed to this, but as you can see, I couldn't seek these people out. The Lord sent them, and he sent them right on time. The Lord's continually been faithful to send people and open doors along this journey, and one of the greatest open doors is you, this church. You've provided an outpouring of supply and monetary donations, and I'm thankful for all of you, mostly for your prayers and support. And I would be amiss not to acknowledge... my family. Who's in full support of this adventure with God. They've been available all hours of the night to provide prayer and wise counsel. And I'm thankful for Pastor Bill and Miss Becky, who speak words of life into the depths of my heart when I need it most. Proverbs 20:18 says, plans are established by counsel, by wise counsel wage war. Thank you to all of you who have provided counsel, prayer, and support. The Lord has used you to help us wage war as we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Because opening Haltom Christian School is fighting a war. And our staff and student families are committed to fight against the things of this world by teaching God's children his word and his love for them. We know the Lord will be with us every step of the way, and as I've shared, he's proven himself to be right on time. As my husband and I spent nights praying over this school and seeking the Lord for guidance, he would often say that establishing Haltom Christian School was like Noah building an ark. This never really resonated in my spirit until about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I realized we are building an ark, a safe haven. Like Noah in the ark, God has given us the blueprint for this school because we would not be here if he hadn't. And currently, we have 8 students enrolled at HCS. And how many people went on the ark? Pastor Bill has taught me that we count hearts, not heads. And as he's told me before, do not despise the day of small beginnings. I don't know what this school year holds, but I know who holds this school. And throughout this year, I will cling to a message of hope that was given to me from Hebrews 13:5b. Being content with what you have. For he has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. I've been told that leadership is lonely, and I know what that means now. But it's a treasured loneliness because there's no one else to turn to but our Heavenly Father. I'm encouraged by Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. By God's grace and in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, may the purpose of the Lord be established and fulfilled at Haltom Christian School as we look to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Isn't God good? Amen. You know, I love all the great things that God has done here over the years, don't you? I mean, when I look back at the last year and a half and all the things that the Lord has done here, I mean, and now all of a sudden, guess what? We're on a new, brand new adventure with the Lord. I mean, it's His adventure. He's the one that's leading us and guiding us. Can you imagine having a Christian school here that believes and also teaches that the Bible is the only book on this planet that came from heaven? Amen? What a glorious concept, that believes that the Word of God is absolute truth. That not only that, that believes that education, which is paramount, but it's just not enough. That they must grow spiritually, they must grow academically at the same time. What a great thing God is doing to impact these children's lives. We don't even have to imagine anymore, because as of today, Haltom Christian School becomes a reality to this fellowship, but also to this city as well. If you want to, you don't have to right now, but if you can turn, we're going to be in John 6, but we're also going to be in Zechariah, just briefly, in Zechariah chapter 4. But let me just say this, and set this up for us this morning on this dedication day for Haltom Christian School, and that's the fact that, you know, when the remnant of the southern kingdom, they came out of Babylonian captivity, remember? And as they came out of Babylonian captivity, God raised up a prophet. His name was Zechariah. And the Bible says in Zechariah 1:1 that God called him, raised him up in the very, gave him the word in the eighth month. Eight is a very important number to God. Did you know that? Eight is always the number of a new beginning, and today, well, next month is August, that's the eighth month, and that's the new beginning for Haltom Christian School. But God sent an angel to Zechariah and the prophet and gave him eight night visions, if you will, to encourage the people of God to get on the, you know, get ready, come on, get back to work and rebuild the temple that, of course, Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. Now, with all that being said, as we look at this, what we're looking at this morning, let me just remind everyone, this angel that came to give Zechariah all these visions, it's actually a word for Zerubbabel, who was the governor of Judah. And remember, he brought that one of the groups, I believe, the first group, then Ezra, then Nehemiah, back to out of Babylonian captivity. Let me read verse 8 here, a promise from God to Zerubbabel. It says in Zechariah 8 about the rebuilding of the temple, "Moreover, the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it.' And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For," and I'm going to read now from the New Living Translation, "for," or literally, "do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." What an incredible word that is. That is a today word for us. Amen? The Lord says, he says, listen, don't you dare, Zechariah. Don't you tell Zerubbabel. You tell the people of Judah and tell the people in the 21st century church this. Never, ever despise the day of small beginnings. Why? Because God rejoices in the work when it begins. Amen? What a glorious scripture that is for us, and we need to agree with that. Some of you have been with me here a long time. You know, 27 years ago, we stepped out of my home there, Becky and I, into our very first church service. Man, what a day that was. Do you think that was a small beginning? There was, I think, 25 or 30, and then none of the rest of them showed up for the first church service, 13 of us. That's a small beginning, amen? And then I was a worship leader that first Sunday, and we had a church split immediately. Only 8 people remained. It was the number of a new beginning, amen? But when you think back of, you know, we had nothing, but we had everything because we had God who was rejoicing in the work that he started, amen? That's what you need to always know in your heart. Never despise those days. I remember, and some of you will remember too, that little building in Fort Worth that we rented for $100 a month or a week, whatever it was, and how the church down the street, that great, big, huge church, and there were only 8 little cars in our parking lot. And as they went by, they kind of snickered. I don't know why Christians would do that. They kind of, and then finally, all of our cars started going down to their parking lot. Somebody say something. Amen, huh? Don't, the first service, loosen up. It's okay. A little Pentecostal will help this morning. Yeah, dear Lord. You know, and then remember when we came here. I'll never forget, Rebecca and I pulled into the parking lot. The building was painted black and gray, honest to God. And she looked at this place and went, are you out of your mind? She's the one that found it. I didn't find it. And so I looked into the window and I said, well, honey, it looks pretty clean inside. And do you remember all of that? I mean, you guys, here's the problem of small beginnings. Unless you were here, sometimes you don't appreciate all that God has done. Do you understand? When you go back, and if we remember this little bitty building, there was absolutely nothing here. It was just a little tiny, out of date. There was no technology, nothing. And all of our parking lots, do y'all remember they were solid dirt and mud? And man, every time it rained and you guys would track in here, remember how bright that blue, ugly, cheap carpet was? And you would see brown footprints all over the church. And the only thing that worked in this church, where these light fixtures are now, were ceiling fans. And they had the little bulbs that rattled. That was it. And then I'll never forget when we took the ceiling fans out as we had a little bit more money and put in lights, people were complaining. Yeah. Well, one of them nearly fell on somebody, then that stopped. See, we don't remember the days when we just had a little, what's that thing, overhead projector on stage with those little plastic transparencies with all the misspelled words from the songs. Y'all don't remember that. See, you don't remember those days. Well, I do. I remember the day we walked in here with nothing. I sat right there on the corner of that stage, and I said, God, how in the world are we going to pay the lease on this building? I did, because the lease on this building was $4,000 a month. That's a lot of money, loved one. Do you understand? That was a lot of money, and I never asked you for it. Never. It was always the Lord, wasn't it? He always did those things. You know, we moved over here, and all the great things that God has done. I mean, there was no main lobby. There was no kids' church. There was no cafe. There was no Love Never Fails International, the charity. There was no Love Never Fails radio. Just 100 people. That's who we were. Just that small beginning. We had nothing, but yet we had everything because God was with us, and he rejoiced in the work. Amen. That's what the Lord has done. And now, you know, today, if we look back when there were so few, and today, normally our normal Easter services are anywhere from 850 to 1,000 people every Easter. What all the great things that the Lord has done. And I'm so thankful for that. 15 years ago, there in the upper room where that office used to be, talking about not despising the day of small beginnings. There that night in September on a Wednesday night service, the Lord gave me that Proverbs 19:17 about and how the start of that charity began right that night. Man, talking about a small beginning. I had no idea what a charity was. Do you understand? And I look back. Look where God has taken this little place, the days of small beginnings up until now. We've been in Meru, Kenya with children. We have been helping children. We help children in North Korea. We help children in other areas of the world. We've been in Mexico. Have you heard, Steve, building homes, orphanages? We've put well over nearly $2 million into Mexico, loved one. I mean, all that God has done. And not only to think about the small beginning, then here we were in the after-school programs for 14 years in the Fort Worth Independent School District and other places. And now, I remember when we designed the building for the kids' church, and I said to the architect, I want to make sure that we design it for a school just in case. And look here. Now, here we are. I have the honor to stand before you today and say, you know what? We are dedicating Haltom Christian School to the Lord. Do not ever despise the day of small beginnings. And you know what? How was all this accomplished? Not by me. Not by you. Not my faithfulness, but God's faithfulness. The Bible says in Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, oh no, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Well, what about Zerubbabel? How did he build, or rebuild rather, he and the people, the temple? Let me give you the way. It says right here in Zechariah 4:6, and the angel said unto me, it says in this night vision, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. He says, not by might, not by that human strength, and not by power, not through politics and Congress and all the rest of it, but God says, by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, not by human strength, not by might. Now listen to me. I don't believe in fundraisers. I don't think fundraisers are very helpful, to be honest with you. We don't have to worry about how are we going to do this. God has always and will always supply what is needed. He has never in all of my ministry and all of my years here, he has never forsaken us and he has never let us down. He has paid bills when I didn't know where the money would even come from. But I'll tell you what, he has always done it. We don't have to beg. We just say, God, here it is. We call your children the ones you want from the north and the south and the east and the west. Amen? God is the one who builds this work. Now listen to me. When you step out, when we step out to build a new work for God, he steps out with us. We're not alone in this. That's why he says, oh, it's not by might. Oh, get over it. It's not going to be by your own power, but by my spirit. Listen, where God guides, he always provides, and he always has. Today is a historical moment. It's a great day for us. It's a great day for Heather and all the teachers and all the people, and we certainly don't despise the day of small beginnings. You know what? When you go out there and look at the cross area and all the things that are being done, do you? That's a very small beginning. Do you think it's mature yet? No, of course not. Those are baby plants, baby trees. They're just small. But oh, what's going to happen in a few years? They're going to mature, and you're going to say, I remember when I thought that was a beautiful tree, but oh, it's a beautiful tree now. Are you with me? Yeah, loved one, listen, you might be saying, well, Bill, you know, 8 little hearts. We did have 12 or 13, but now it's 8. 8 little hearts, 8 little children. You know, that's not very many people. Well, let me tell you something about 8 little hearts. 8 is the number of a new beginning. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Listen, you ever heard of the Lord Jesus Christ? He started with a class of 12, the class of AD 33. Do you understand? Oh, my goodness. I mean, and by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but the word disciple, what does it mean? Learner, pupil, follower, amen? Yes, the 12, oh, my gosh. I mean, what an amazing class. The class of AD 33, well, you know what they did, but let me ask you a question. Would you choose anyone in that class? Would you choose those 12 guys to change the world? Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Let me just give you names of a couple of them or a few of them. How about Peter? Would you, if you'd have seen Peter, the rugged fisherman, the impulsive person that he was, always putting his foot in his mouth, even at the in the upper room in John chapter 13, when he said, "Oh Lord, you know you're not going to wash my feet. Oh, don't you dare touch me," or whatever. And Jesus said, "You know, Peter, you better, I don't wash your feet, man. You don't have any part or share or partnership with me." No. Peter's the one denied the Lord three times. How about James and John? They were the hot-headed brothers, the sons of Zebedee. Jesus called them the sons of thunder. And how about Simon, the Simon the Zealot? You know what he was? He hated Rome. He was a political revolutionary. And matter of fact, if you know anything about the Zealots in Jesus' day that he chose, you know what they did? They always wore these little cloaks, had a little dagger they would hide in there. They hated the Roman soldiers so much, sometimes when they were walking through the streets, they'd pull out the dagger and stab them. He's a Baptist, probably, don't you? I'm joking. I love the Baptist. Are you following me? And I go, "Oh, Lord, those men that you probably, maybe, they turned their world upside down." That's the kind of kids that we're going to be training in Haltom Christian School. They're going to be turning their world upside down. Let me ask you a question. The day that Jesus selected the 12 after prayer, loved one, listen, do you think that that was a small beginning? It was, wasn't it? But that beginning, is it still continuing today? Yes. Do you understand? Oh, you don't know what God's going to do. We can only declare what's going to that God's planting a church, a school, but we can't define everything. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. Now listen, when you think about small beginnings, think about David and Goliath. Remember that story? I mean, David was just a young boy. He was a teenager. Goliath, I mean, the Philistine of Gath, remember? He was 10 feet tall. Think about that. He comes out and challenges all the people of Israel, the armies of Israel, and he says, "Send me out a man. I just want one man. And if he beats me, if he kills me, then all of us, the Philistines, we'll bow down and we will serve you. But if I kill him, then you're going to serve us." That was the deal. Do you understand? And what happened? You know, listen, you know, that one man, where's David? He's out there in the field taking care of little sheep and killing bears and lions. You know how it is with David. And then the dad, Jesse had how many sons? There's a word that's circulating in our sermon today. The word is eight. He had eight sons. And who was the eighth son? David was the eighth son because he was the youngest. He comes to David and says, "David, here, take some cheese and take this and some Oreo cookies and whatever else and take them out to your brothers and see how the battle is going and bring all back this news for me." I'm talking about despising the day of small beginnings. You know what happened? David comes out there. He's bringing the food for his brothers who are there with King Saul and all of that. And then immediately there's his brother that's going to despise little David. Let me read it to you. In 1 Samuel 17:28, it says, "Now Eliab, the oldest brother, when he spake to the men," and Eliab talking about David, and it says, and his anger was aroused against David, and he said, "David, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few little sheep in the wilderness?" Isn't that like a big brother's, you know? He says, "I know your pride. I know your insolence of your heart, for you've come down here to see the battle." In other words, you've come to see people die. That was a lie. Do you see why whenever God was choosing the next king of Israel who was going to replace King Saul, do you see why he, Eliab, was rejected? Absolutely. Now listen, here's the problem. You know, you see what he did to his little brother. He despised him. You know why? Because Eliab missed out on the character classes taught by the excellent teachers at Haltom Christian School. Yeah, that's why. Listen to me. It's a tragedy today, and we live in a tragic time in the education. It's tragic for a person to be educated, but yet not have any character. Oh, listen, can I say something to you? You know, Eliab, he wasn't an archer. You got it? You know what I mean? Haltom Christian School, the home of the archers? No, but David was an archer. Do you understand? He says there, David said this in 1740 of 1 Samuel. It says, oh, and David took a staff in his hand and five smooth stones, and he put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and he had his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You know the rest of the story. He showed up, no armor, no sword, nothing but five smooth stones. Why? Well, David looked to God. He didn't look at the giant. Was it a fact that Goliath was a giant? Absolutely. But you see, David had faith in the living God. Haltom Christian School, they're going to face some giants. They already have. And there are more to come. You know, the enemies, they come within and they also come without. The moment that any person hears the voice of God and rises up to do the work of God that God rejoices in, you better expect opposition. But what did God tell Zerubbabel to do? Again, he said, oh, here's the word. Listen, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. That great mountain shall become a plain. And Zerubbabel, oh, you're going to bring forth the capstone. In other words, the headstone that marks the completion of the temple when it's rebuilt. And you're going to do so with shouts of grace and grace to it. God says, you know what? When you do a work that I have called you to do, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And not only that, it's not going to be your power, your intelligence, your ability. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit of God, the power of another, that's going to accomplish it. And he says, and when I call you to do something, yes, there'll be battles, but I'll make it plain. What does that mean? God says, I'm going to remove the difficulties that you face. We stand, he says, shouts of grace. We stand today in this church, and Haltom Christian School stands in grace. The undeserved, unearned, unmerited, unconditional, divine favor of Almighty God. Amen? It's by grace, all of it. And you know what? It's the goal of HCS to train children to conquer all their giants that they will face in life, spiritually and academically. Fearless children. Children who have learned not just head knowledge, but they have learned heart knowledge as well. You see, they realize, like David, that God is bigger than all their problems and all of their giants. And they, like David, will know this: the battle is the Lord's. That's the kind of kids that we're going to turn out here. They're going to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? They're going to know all those things. Oh, we never, ever want to despise the day of small beginnings, loved one. Before the Lord, he rejoices in it. And do you remember the story of the little boy? He had five loaves, two fish. That's five plus two is... Did you graduate from HCS, didn't you? No. Seven. And seven is what? God's perfect number. God loves that number, okay? So you've got a couple of fish, you've got five loaves, but you have 5,000 people that need to be fed. You remember the story? There they are. Jesus is on the mountain. He's healed all these people. They're following him and so forth. It says in John 6:5, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him, said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat, meaning the 5,000? But Jesus said this to test or to prove him, for Jesus himself, he knew what he would do. Only here in Scripture, in John's Gospel, does Jesus ever ask any kind of advice. But yet he asked it, but he knew what he was going to do. The other Gospels tell us, you know what the 12 said to Jesus when all those people were hungry and starving? They said, listen, send the multitude away, man. They're going to faint out here. Get them into the towns and let them get into the cities. You know what? The disciples had the same problem that many people have today. They had no human solution to the problem. He says, Philip answered and said, well, Lord, you know, 200 denarii worth of bread, well, it's just not sufficient. It's not sufficient for them. He says, that's all the money that we have. He says that every one of them may just have a little bitty food. Well, you know that a denarii is a day's wage for a common labor, but it was 200 denarii. And here comes that word again. That is the word eight. So it's 8 months' salary, okay? So when we look at all this, listen to me now. It's amazing. Here we are, a brand new day, a brand new work. But it's no different today than then. I'm always startled that we truly, like the disciples, they think 200 denarii is all we have. They think that money is always the answer to every problem we face. It's not. Money is not always the problem. I tell you something, and don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. Heather, never forget this. What God rejoices in, He provides for. Always. What God rejoices in. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices in the work to begin. Amen? When whatever God is rejoicing in, I tell you what, He will provide for. And one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said, oh, there's a lad here, just a little boy. You know, he's an HCS student. And you know, here he is. He's got 5 barley loaves. He's 2 small fish, but here it comes again. But what are they among so many? Well, let me tell you something about that little boy. He was the only one smart enough to have a lunch with him. Amen? Yeah, and you know why? He probably went to school at HCS. You understand that? 2 small fish is not a lot. I'm not talking about like fish from Papado where you get that rice underneath that salmon or whatever it is and all those little tiny aquatic cockroaches or whatever they're called and, you know, that stuff all over it. That's not what he had. This is just a bunch of little tiny minnows. They didn't even have eyes. They were so small. Put it on a piece of barley bread and eat it. What did they say? That's what people say. Well, you know, look at this work. It sure is small. Well, so what? What are they among so many? That's what the disciples are. What is this right here? Look at it. What is this boy's lunch? It's absolutely nothing. Well, God says, don't you ever despise the day of small beginnings. For when we give to Jesus what we call insufficient, something happens. Amen. He says, and Jesus said, would you make the people sit down? And there was much grass in the place, men. So they sat down. And it says, in the number, about 5,000. Now, that's 5,000 men plus women and children. So you probably could be about 15,000 people there. And you have 5 loaves of bread and you have 2 sardines. What are you going to do? Do you understand? Oh, listen, the disciples said it was hopeless. What is this small thing here? What are you going to do with that? You know, what is this among so many? It's so easy to always look at a problem but never see the provider. Problems can hide Jesus. Do you know that? Look to Jesus. He's the one who solves our problems, loved one. He's the one that is with us. And so here, you know, Jesus assigns the disciples a task that is unbelievable. You know, sometimes we have to believe the impossible to see it happen. Amen? Yes. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus took the loaves and he had given thanks and so forth. And he gave to the disciples and he distributed to them and they gave the food out to all the people. And they had the fragments left over and all of that. But listen, the incredible miracle of multiplication. Listen to me now. Little is much when you put it in the hands of Jesus. Do you understand that? Whatever you put into the hands of, in other words, here's the lunch of the little boy's lunch. It's not much in his hands. But man, when you give it unto the Lord, I'm going to tell you something happens. He gives thanks unto God, and it multiplies, and it multiplies, and it multiplies. Giving thanks, rejoicing in what God was doing. Loved one, I'll tell you something. Let us never despise the day of small beginnings. Had I despised the days of small beginnings in the first pastorate and this pastorate, I would not be here today. No. I only looked at what God was doing. God brings people. I don't bring people. You know what I'm saying? This is God's work. Haltom Christian School is God's work. It's His responsibility. He calls us to just be faithful. You know what's great about what Jesus did? He said, okay, here's the miracle. of the loaves and the fishes, and he tells the 12, you guys get out there and now pass out the food. Would you consider that an honor, a privilege? Oh my gosh, I looked at that and I said, of course. We're going to have teachers. And you know what they probably don't realize, or maybe they do realize, I don't know. And I think of what's getting ready to happen, but can you imagine being given the privilege of instructing little hearts and little minds for Jesus Christ? That blows me away. I love teachers. Teachers were the greatest, one of the greatest. They were my influence when I was a little boy. I don't know what I would have done had God not brought teachers in my path to encourage me, to help me, even sometimes to even give me food and bring a lunch to me when I had nothing at all. You know, the teachers that are about to be teaching, you know what they don't realize? They're going to be the first team. They're going to be the ones that God has selected to put their hand to the plow. Do you understand? They're going to be the ones who see what God does with the day of small beginnings. Not only that, they, like me, and some of you, that can look back and see where we have come from and now where we are today. And I go, oh God, the incredible things you've done, and without my help. Do you understand? Without my help, everything that's happened, he has done for us. And he continues to do for us. They, see, it's the first group, the plowers, the builders, the ones who laid the foundation. I know I'm running long, but it doesn't matter. Does it? Oh, come on. No, listen, we get the memories. And we are privileged to have the first memories of what God, and see how God does it. And then we pass that on to the next generation or the other teachers that are new. And we walk in, and it's just like, you walk in, and if you'd have walked into this church the day we walked in, you go, this is a piece of junk. Well, it was. But to us, it was beautiful. Do you understand? And then now, what God has done. See, we have the memories, those who weren't there in the beginning. We see all the things that God has done for the charity, for the church. How God is the one who put us on the radio. I never asked to be on the radio across many states in this country. How he put us around the world. People listen all over. That was the Lord. I can only imagine what God is going to do with the day of small beginnings for this work. What an incredible privilege. What an honor. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come together today to celebrate what you are doing, Lord, that we know that this work, Halton Christian School, is not going to be built by human strength, not by our human power, but by your Spirit, Lord, the Holy Spirit of God. And from this day forth, there will be not one person within the sound of my voice that will ever despise the day of small beginnings. For the Lord God, you rejoice to see the work begin. It gives me great pleasure to know in my heart that we make you, Lord, rejoice. We love you. We praise you. We dedicate now this wonderful school into your perfect care, into your perfect hands. And we submit today to your divine plan. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And the church in agreement says, amen. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. If you need prayer, you know we're going to be here to pray with you. I encourage you to reach out to one another and just pray every day for Halton Christian School. Amen. Love you dearly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Let's sing to the Lord.
God is so good.